This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show. Hardships, Leviathan,
and lonely. I was thirsty, yes. So I drank. Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Julia Carey.
Hi, Joe Braswell.
Hello,
Hi, Nando.
Julia.
Hi, everybody.
Nando. I'm joined by also the lovely Nando Blasquez.
I like how you started Nando.
Well, I just was going to say, Nando, what is the song? But I'll ask you.
Oh, well, it was from the end of the episode.
That's right.
It was Josh Ritter, Change in Time, I believe it was called.
Okay.
I just took it away. Change of Time, yes.
Yes.
Josh Ritter.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
It's been a very long time since we've done an episode of The Blacklist.
Yes.
We too are. Long, my
too
friends.
Long, too long. 2 weeks. And we're back.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks for downloading. Thank you for watching us on YouTube.
We are missing one person of our team.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that. That guy.
Joseph Salvatore Sanfilippo.
Salvatore?
Yes.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, Joe Sal San. That's what I call him. He's not here today. Obviously, he's away working and doing some things with his voice.
With his golden pipes.
With his golden pipes. And making money.
Yes.
So, Blacklist episode 19. We're in the home stretch, guys.
Yes,
this is
things are happening.
22 episodes. We're at 19, and
three
it's happening.
More to go.
We talked a lot about last week, at least I did for sure, about these sort of the throwaway episodes and these sort of filler episodes, and how our guy last week was the worst Blacklister in the history of the Blacklist. I thought
that last episode. Yes.
I can't remember my man's name, but I didn't like him. But this episode, now we're talking. You know, the Pavlovich brothers.
They're from the pilot.
They're from the pilot. I love the fact that they brought them back from the pilot. These guys are just
these guys aren't messing
snatch
around.
And grab. They do snatch
and grab. Grabs.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. They get
four numbers. Each one of the brothers gets a number.
Oh, and, I thought it was two numbers.
No, it was 119 to 122.
To 122.
Oh, cool.
It was four numbers, one episode, but they just throw them all together as four numbers.
Well, family sticks together.
That's
I
right.
guess, but couldn't you just put them all as one? Because they are like an organization in a way. There are one entity.
I do. I love these guys, and I love how they show them in the beginning, and they're just like, you know, having a good old time, laughing it up, and they get that phone call, and it's like Hezbollah line one. It's like, tell Hezbollah to hold. We're going to Washington.
That was kind of awesome. You know what?
Really, that's a villain.
They're in demand.
Tell Hezbollah, hold on.
Yes.
I liked having this little bit of cross-pollination between the Blacklister of the week and the overarching story.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of times in at least the first half of this season, it lacked synchronicity, and it felt like two different shows at times. Mm-hmm. The story of the characters we know, and then the Blacklister. So having them sort of cross-pollinate like that,
yep.
I felt really made this like a tight episode.
Yep. I agree. I agree. And I think that's the sort of the goal in general, is to have, like, you know, the procedural Blacklister search, and then with some sort of B or C story on the side. But this one was definitely done better than others, you know, from my money. And also,
it felt even
because we've earned this whole Liz, Tom, you know, Tom and Liz, Lizzie thing. So we've earned this whole payoff to what's going to happen here. And so, you know, it felt really good to be able to finally get to some meat here. So what may or may not happen with these two. Also, action-packed episode. Like a lot of a lot of gunplay, a lot of explosions, a lot of car chases. It was a good episode. It's what The Blacklist to me is supposed to be.
Yeah.
As opposed to poor lonely guys, you know, wherever my Blacklister was last week with Tico's.
This really affected you, this guy. He was
just
so
removing
bad.
His nose the whole episode. That's his Blacklist power.
This was 3 weeks ago. This episode happened, and you're losing sleep over
that
this guy.
That guy.
You really don't like that guy.
The Pavlovich brothers, man.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Online too. Anyway, so we're finally get some sort of resolution ish to the whole Tom Keen, Lizzie Keen situation. And although the door's opened again for some more stuff,
yeah.
Let's start there. So, Lizzie has decided a couple episodes ago to sort of stay with Tom to sort of get to the bottom of what, you know, who he works for, what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And we have this sort of cat and mouse game, Mr. and Mrs. Smith game, if you will, of sort of, you know, will Tom find out that Lizzie knows? Will Lizzie find out that Tom knows? And obviously Tom, you know, he found out. but
nice.
I got to ask you, Julia.
Uh-oh.
I'm skipping ahead slightly, but what's going on with Lizzie Keen? Like, why can't she just stay in the damn car? Why can't she just keep her? I mean, like, what is happening? Why would she go to all this great lengths to sleep with him and be there and sneak around and then
just to blow it?
Just to blow
just
it.
Just to blow the whole thing.
The whole operation.
Wide open.
And Red's got a full team. Red's like, they all work for you. He's like, great. I'm coming out to see this for myself.
The only thing I could think is that she is just blinded by emotion. You know, this is her husband. I feel like I like to forget that because I never really saw too much chemistry between the two of them on screen.
Sure.
So I feel like to her, he should just be disposable. But if I think of it as a wife, then that's your husband. That's the man that you dated and you got engaged to and you went through a wedding and all those memories that you build, like she said.
Right.
So I think that she just must have been completely just in a blind rage, just can't believe what's happening and can't prolong this any longer. Has to get to the bottom of it.
Sure. Fair
enough.
That,
I just think it's an emotional response. Lizzie has a tendency to act emotionally, and we've seen that throughout this entire season. She makes really stupid decisions when she acts emotionally.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is no different.
And this frustrates some of the audience that watches her because of that.
It frustrates the hell out of me. But this is the one time that I think maybe I can understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm skipping ahead. I'm just this whole thing with Lizzie jumping out of the car is just killing me.
Like, Lizzie, again, Red lets her do it. And I guess Red has it's part of Red's master plan. He understands this, but she really compromises herself in this moment. And I get it in a way because obviously this is 2 years of her life that she's been married to this man and finds out it's a lie and she wants to get answers. She definitely shows her impatience, but it also shows inexperience. It shows, as an agent, it shows inexperience. You have moments where she figures things out on this show, followed by moments of complete and utter, for lack of a better word, I wouldn't say stupidity. I wouldn't say it's a stupid move, but I would say for lack of a better word, inexperience.
Well, this is the unevenness that sort of drives me crazy with the Lizzie, drives us crazy with the Lizzie Keen character. Like one moment she has complete lucidity and complete competence, and another moment she's running out of the car. Like, you know,
but you have to understand, this is her husband she's talking about, so I can understand that up to a certain point.
Right.
But obviously, Red has this under control, and she's sitting next to the man who's on her side, and here she is still not trusting him enough to run in there and see what's
as a well trained FBI agent. She's got a tracker on him, Red's got a team on him.
Yeah,
I don't want to beat to the ground. Okay, so that, but it
all
was,
these
was
people
cool
are working for you. Red even said it, all these people tailing him are working for you.
I'd have been like, cool.
And even after that, see, that's what blew my mind. Even after that, she sees this masterful operation that he's put together for her.
Right.
I mean, she thinks for her, of course, it's for him, but for both of them.
Yeah.
But she just just blows it just like that. Just doesn't even give it a second thought after everything that they've been through. See, I'm getting mad about it again.
Yeah. And then she's like, you'll do it your way, Red. I'll do it mine. It's like,
but
no.
His way is working.
Like, he's
your
Red
way
Reddington.
Never works.
Yeah, let him do it his way. Yeah, I don't know.
Her way never, ever works. And, you know, another dumb decision, breaking his thumb. Even I know.
Right.
Even I know.
Even
not to,
you know
even
not
know.
To break someone's thumb.
Don't break
when
thumb
you have
can get
her
out of
handcuffs. Right. When she has her,
even I know this.
When she has her men in handcuffs, she knows yeah. better than to break their
don't
thumbs.
Don't break the old
That's
thumb.
Right,
because they will get out if she does that.
Yes.
Yes.
I know this.
So let's
where do you
run
learn
it
this stuff in S&M school or something?
Oh. All right.
FBI so, school. All right. I was being nice to her the last two shows.
Yeah.
Now,
now it's better back. Of you, huh?
I couldn't take it.
Let's reared his ugly head over here.
Let's take this back to the top here. So, I love, you know, back to the way this is the feeling of this episode. You know, before we see the Pavlovich brothers, we see this cool sort of scene in this Changzhou labor camp in rural China, which is very cool with the injections and the very cool extraction with the team. I love that stuff. And I was like that when I saw that as an open, I'm like, now this is the damn Blacklist. This is kind of what the promise of the pilot, you know, promised us in some other episodes we saw as well, Garrick and others. Like, that's the stuff that really works for me when they bring that level of like high level espionage and cool things to television. So they do that cool extraction. They get this woman here, who we know is a high valued target, out. The Pavlovich brothers kidnap her, snatch her from. Now, who had her? Was it the CIA? I mean, who grabbed her?
It was the U.S. government. So
U.S. government, presumably CIA.
CIA,
right? And then FBI knows, and FBI went to intercept to take her away to change
transport
the route.
Her from I guess the plane where she was at to get her to Washington D.C.
because they knew that the Pavlovich brothers were gunning for her,
right?
So they had to intercept the interstraction from the U.S. government and kind of get her into hiding, I guess, before the Pavlovich brothers
her. I don't know about that, because Red told Lizzie and her team. But then that guy said, we're changing plans. We just had got some credible information.
Well, I assume that
meanwhile,
guy was in on it.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, Lizzie and Wrestler are coming over saying, no, you guys are doing ground transportation. We're here to help back that up.
Right.
So obviously there was some miscommunication.
I thought it was to reroute
in.
Her. Okay.
Yeah, they were going to reroute her, but according
but reroute her
to Lizzie,
like handheld, like they're going to grab her and take her somewhere else.
Yeah,
like,
they weren't going to take her in the plane.
Her.
So somebody set it up and said, no, we're changing the plan, knowing that they're... procedure would be to go to air.
Right.
That's what they said. So knowing that the Pavlovich brothers were prepared for that with a fake plane, with their own chopper.
Well, this is the thing. So, like, did the Pavlovich brothers? This wasn't a Red construction from the very beginning, right? Like, he came and saw them, and then said, "I'm Red Reddington." They put their when he saw them. I'm trying to figure out
You're
how
jumping
early.
All over.
Well, I know I am jumping, but like, no, okay. Because this is relevant to what I'm talking about. How early did Red Reddington have the Pavlovich brothers on the payroll? In other words, did Red help them get away early on, or was it not until later when he had them on the payroll?
I think he's used them in the past, right?
Yeah.
But I'm talking about for this operation.
I don't think he had them on the payroll until he showed his face.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he had them on the payroll, but it was just convenient that they got away up to this point.
Sure.
And that Red was able to go over there to use them to get Tom. Because don't forget, Tom was not in... he was not hiding out at the beginning of this episode either.
Yeah, exactly. So when he had that quick little scene with Dembe in the car when they find out that Tom is hiding in the cement box. And,
right.
And Dembe says, should we get, I can't remember the name, so-and-so to extract him? He goes, no, he's on assignment elsewhere.
Right.
So that would have been nice.
So that was
so
Red's
now,
plan
but then,
saying,
ding, the Pavlovich brothers are in town.
Right.
I could use that.
You know, it's kind of like kids playing in the playground. They're playing their little game. Someone's like, Time out, and they just switch the game completely. It's like Red's like, I know that I'm kind of just sent the FBI after you, but I'm Red Reddington, and I've got money.
Let me use them now.
You still have your prisoner, but now I need you to get somebody for me.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was real, and it shows the power of Red.
Cool.
He just
the power
walks
of Red.
In, he walks in, all their guns are up, and he's like, hello, I'm Raymond Reddington. All of a sudden, they just put their guns down.
Right. We're listening.
Listen.
Yeah, we're listening.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
That was very cool. Mm. So backing up, we have that scene. Then we kind of get into this, which happened beforehand. We get into this whole, you know, Lizzie and Tom to back to the cat and mouse thing, where Lizzie very artfully and carefully plants the tracking device in Tom's keys. which is very cool. We forget that she's a grifter, a master grifter.
Oh, yeah.
So she
a little sleight of hand.
A little sleight of hand there, because there's that bit where she, you know, whoops, I don't have it here, but it's right here, behind your ear. No, but that was cool. I really thought, I mean, I like that. I kind of want to see, like, it's getting dragged out forever, but I like the whole Lizzie and Tom, like, cat and mouse game. I wish that were more than two episodes or two or three episodes we saw that happening. Hmm. I like just seeing them sort of like, you know, again, it's very, very Mr. and Mrs. Smith, where they're sort of looking at each other and suspicious of each other. But, I mean, I don't know. Did you think Tom would find her out eventually? I mean, was that even in your head? Or did you thought, I mean, as I was watching this whole thing, I'm like, Tom's going to get her. But I don't know. He didn't.
Wait, what's your question? Like, do you think Tom would find out that she knew?
Yes.
Well, everyone's been telling him that she knows, and he's just been refusing to believe it. And I think he's been sort of flailing in the wind and a little bit desperate and trying all his last-ditch efforts, all his last-ditch tactics before finally coming to that conclusion and having to make his next move. Because this is an assignment he's been on for years.
Right.
So you don't want to see that die.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, Red even said that he is out of control, paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so in a way, he's kind of just waiting to see. They're waiting to see exactly how Tom reacts. But he is exactly. He's off balance. When they figured out that he killed Jolene, it was like, did he have orders, or was he just so paranoid he had to kill her?
Right.
Which we know was the latter.
So we do have that scene with Tom and Lizzie where, you know, with Red and Lizzie, where Red is revealing that he knew about Jolene and he knew about other things, and that could be something to make Lizzie not trust Red, maybe, because Red is clearly holding back information. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is a catalyst for Lizzie to feel like she has to go rogue to a certain degree because maybe she can't trust Red. I'm just trying to get into her head as to why she like going nuts, jumping out of the car, and you know. Maybe she has the feeling that Red's not telling her everything, and she wants to see for herself. And Red always does seem to have another motive, or another card, or another like something in the back. So maybe that's why she jumped out and wanted to see that. In the scene where obviously they track him, she plants a tracking device. She gets with Red. Red tells her about Jolene. They follow him all the way to the what was it? The House
National
of
Archives.
National Archives. National Archives. Yes.
Where it looks like he's about to make some sort of drop of some sort, some sort of switch, and he gets spooked clearly by Lizzie, and then was out. And so we never find out what happens there, but we do later find in a confrontation where Tom and Lizzie have that wonderful scene together where they're talking things through, and Tom's trying to figure out if he's if Lizzie is onto her or not, or if Lizzie's onto Tom, where he asks, "I thought I saw you at the National Archives," and she's like, I wasn't there. And he's like, "How was your day?" Like, "Oh, I had these horrible third graders today. Like, one kid did this." She's like, "Oh, really?" It's like a weird moment of like, we don't believe each other. But what I missed is, was there a particular moment where Tom got tipped off? Did I miss it, or was it just?
Yeah, I don't know, because that was an interesting scene. He's like, "Oh, I didn't want to do Thai food. I just wanted to cook. It's just you and me alone." And next thing you know, he's like, "I'm going to go walk the dog."
Yeah.
"I'm going to go walk the dog now."
But did you pick up anything, Julia, that
No, because it didn't seem that he actually saw her at the National Archives.
Yeah.
He saw that there was a camera, and then he heard a little scuffle or whatever and looked up, but she was already gone. Maybe he saw like some hair or anything like that.
He had suspicions.
But he had very strong suspicions, but there was nothing, there was no aha moment for me.
Well, there wasn't until they had that conversation when he clearly was like, something's off. And Lizzie alluded to that earlier when she's like, "I know him. He's getting suspicious. I know him."
Hmm.
But I had to watch it twice. I'm like, well, what happened? Like, why did Tom?
What was it?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't seem, and that scene didn't seem that much different than the scene in the morning when she's reading the paper and putting the GPS. Like, there was no, there was no elevated level of suspicion. There was nothing like that. That would have, if I were Tom, I guess, would have been like, shit, there it is. Done.
Yeah.
Done. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, something happened. I mean, if anyone on online or on Twitter can because I mean, maybe it was just a thing that he, an instinct thing, because he then went to immediately walk the dog.
He didn't even like take the dog anywhere. He just took it outside the front door and ran.
Yeah.
He would have given him a little bit more time if he had actually, at least like 20 more minutes if he had taken the dog with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But he's like, I need an immediate evac. So that, and I love the spy stuff, too. I love the conversation. I love the...
Oh, the Mockingbird nose.
Yeah, Mockingbird nose. Like, you know, I have a problem with my account. that was very cool. And so they scooped him up and put him in the cement box. Which was cool, too. See, I love all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So then, I'm back. If Joe were here, Joe and I would have our normal... our Harold conversation, because I'm just back to this whole, you know, what's going on with the FBI. I mean, Harold hasn't had anything to do or say in like 10 episodes. Like another, like, get on it. I want to find what's in the helicopter. Like, get on it. Like, well, that's all he's done.
He's the boss. He's just been playing the boss role. We haven't gotten to know much about him.
Right.
You know, one thing I want to hit upon, I'm not sure if I was the only one out of us who's seen it, and I don't know if this is the first week it's happened, but I usually watch Blacklist on Hulu. I don't really watch it on NBC. I watch it the morning before we do this. But I actually now that I have my DVR all hooked up and everything like that, I actually taped it and watched it on NBC. And there was a commercial.
Yes.
Yes.
We have to talk about the commercial.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We have to talk about the commercial.
You guys see that? All right, cool. I'm glad I wasn't the only one because we didn't get a chance to talk about this commercial. So
my notes about that are funny, actually.
Yeah. So I don't know if that now's the time to talk about it or if you want to talk.
No, let's talk about it. Bring it up.
Okay. So what the hell?
I wrote, as I was watching that car chase, you're talking about the Mustang, yeah?
Yes, Mustang commercial.
So as that was happening, I was like, my note right here says, spies must have a super Stang. And then immediately. goes to a Super Sting commercial starring Ryan Eggold talking about Tom Keene.
Yeah, it was right after that car chase, too, right? It was immediately after that car chase.
Super
so it was
spies
a perfect,
must have a Super Sting.
Perfect product placement. I don't know if it was on Hulu. I don't know if our international viewers got the same thing we did. But I wrote down the whole thing, pretty much, hi, I'm Tom Keene. And playing, you know, Tom Keene is a balancing act. It's a question of whether you're a good man or a bad. There's a darkness in Tom. But a glimmer of goodness, too. And you hope his motives might be noble. Noble. And then it's the 2015 Ford Mustang. Go further.
Okay. Car, by the way.
First of all, I don't have a problem these days at all with product placement. And, you know, I mean, people do. And I don't have a problem with the heavy-handedness of the product placement. Although that... You know, I thought there was a lot of action in this. A lot. This is an expensive episode.
Yeah.
We got to that car chase. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is an expensive episode. I'm like, I wonder if Mustang helped pay for this episode. Because Ford helped pay for this episode. And then, sure enough, after that, right after the chase, you like that chase? You like that car? I'm Tom Keene. No, but I so that was kind of cool. But
looking car looks cool.
No, it's a hot car. Yes,
but what's more
hot.
Telling about the commercial, other than the commercial itself, other than the the blatant product placement. And the commercial following the product placement was just what Tom revealed, what Eggold revealed about his character.
Yeah.
That's like a total, almost borderline spoiler.
Because I think we see him as a bad guy still. Even
he's
with the revelation at the end saying that Red's not who he seems and I'm not going to hurt you, we still think of him as a bad guy. And yet here he is giving away a major
sort of plot point as to what his motivations may or may not be.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, is Tom good? Is he bad? I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure he's bad.
I'm pretty sure he's bad, but his commercial says he might be good. The commercial says he might be good.
But the commercial's like, you know, but who knows?
And the commercial makes me want to buy a Ford.
He's just got a dark side.
Yeah.
You love that commercial, didn't you, Julie?
I love that commercial. I watched it twice. No, we didn't. No, but I've never outright said that Tom was bad. I just thought that Tom was not who he said he was, and he had different motives. I've never thought that he was out to hurt her. I never thought he was a bad, like, bad guy.
I would have liked to have seen a commercial with the Pavlovich brothers also. Like, right after, at the end of that commercial break, saying, oh, no, we're the Pavlovich brothers. We're snatch and grabs. We like fast cars. Fun Mustang.
I love
go
that.
Further.
I love that.
And the other thing that I think the commercial really reveals, though, too, that we shouldn't overlook is... It kind of makes Eggold's character a major character. He's there to stay.
Oh yeah,
I really feel like if you're willing to have someone like Ford make a commercial based on your character, that this character I would assume is safe.
Yeah,
and is going to be, even though he's on the run right now, he is here to stay at least for the foreseeable future, for season two as well. I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, oh god. Well, let's get to that in a second. But I just want to just run through this whole thing. So, we have him, the extraction, and then you already covered how Red Reddington and Dembe figure out that they can use the Pavlovich brothers to then get to go get Tom. And it's a great, super cool, another super cool action sequence, you know, with them going there and extracting him and shooting the box up and the chase and the whole nine yards. That was great. And I love the whole thing when Lizzie comes in and the Proudless Brothers are just kicking it there.
Oh, that was awesome.
I love these guys. You know, it very much reminds me, you know, this is Joe Carnahan. Although Joe Carnahan did not direct this episode because I thought he may have. It was Paul Edwards, but it very much reminded me of Smoking Aces. Did you see Smoking Aces?
Smoking Aces, that's a good movie,
That's Joe Carnahan's, a Joe Carnahan film. But, like, there's a lot of Pavlovich brother type of thugs in that. Mm-hmm. It's just somewhat about the humor of these guys all in the living room, like, kicking back in the kitchen, like, a gift from Reddington. You know, I love that scene.
Yeah.
And they all kind of get out. But, yeah, so we talked about the interrogation. The Lizzie, you know, breaking the thumb and the whole fight that ensued afterwards, which... Lizzie is a well-trained FBI agent, and she's an excellent profiler, but she's not... I mean, he would kick her ass, right?
Well,
like, he's a super spy.
He is a super spy, but she doesn't know he's a super spy. I mean, I was thinking about this, too, because we've seen him pretty much kill two people at once a couple of episodes ago.
That's like a non-fight.
Yeah, and they were two agents. They weren't even, like... They were two capable people. Right. They weren't, like, first graders or something.
Jason Bourne, and she's, like, Clarice Sterling.
Yeah, so I can understand maybe she didn't know any better, but at the same time, it was just pretty obvious she is not... the kind of person that does these Jack Bauer type interrogation tactics. Because she obviously, I think even a part of me was like, why do you go for the thumb? That was an interesting choice. Oh, that's why, because it's a dumb move and you can escape. You can just wiggle the rest of his hand out with a broken thumb, which still kind of hurts thinking about it.
Yes. Yeah. So
the conversation though that they had is pretty key. When
she didn't like pancakes.
She doesn't like pancakes. Yes, we learned this.
2 years.
Yes. And that moment. This was a good moment for Megan Boone as Lizzie Keene when, you know, that scene when she says, say something to your wife who is dying in front of you.
Yes.
That was the one of the few times, I'm sorry, that I was like, oh, Lizzie, that I felt for her for a moment.
Yes, yes. That was a very good moment.
So I thought that was great. And then him telling the story about the shoes and her drawing the little heart. Again, I felt for her because... You know, we've all been there. We've been in relationships and that feeling of young love and the first time that you're with someone and leaving little notes and things like that. And made me think about my marriage a little bit. Maybe my husband's a super spy. I don't know.
Right,
I leave him little notes sometimes. But then, of course,
he says that touching note and he goes, that's when I knew. That's when I felt sorry for you.
Yes.
Yeah. I knew that I had you.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
Says, part of me didn't want it to work, but it did. Which makes me think, is he... super bad, or is he just kind of bad?
Well, this is, according to the Mustang commercial.
Yeah.
we don't know exactly. It's a dark side. It's an edge. No, but that was really, that was sort of a nice little, almost heart-wrenching scene, because it's like, she was asking for answers, and he's like, you were a job. Like, you know, you're my husband, you were a job, you know, is what he said. And it's like, I had to do the job no matter what. And I knew I had you at that moment, but I didn't want to, I felt like I didn't want it to work out because I have feelings for you, but I still got to do this job, you know? And then from there on, it was like, we're talking years, you know, a couple years at least of them going on. But we still don't know why exactly he was there. Well,
I gotta say, he kind of killed it in that scene. He was really awesome.
He was good in that scene.
He was really great in this episode.
He was good in that scene.
Yeah, I was digging him.
And actually, in that moment when they do have the fight, I guess why he didn't really take her out is because we know that he's not there to harm her, is what he said. So,
even though it's okay to put her through a table.
Well, I mean,
she was asking for it.
I know. It's just funny, though.
And so, I mean, like, we don't... what's weird about this, too, is like... Then what is he doing there? Because he's clearly not trying to get at Reddington, per se... Because he had that weird line about, like, what's that old man? What's he seeing you? Like, what's his interest in you? Like, he doesn't know. He's asking, you know? And then it's like, do you have some sort of weird father-daughter thing going on? Which was also an insult to her because this is her husband saying, like, you know, what are you doing with this guy?
And it also says that Red's her father, which Joe
that was him absolutely saying, he's not your dad.
Yes.
That was to me 100% vindication.
That's him saying, I don't know if he's your dad, but it's like some kind of dad. He's saying, Lizzie, I think Nando and Joe Sanfilippo might be right about you.
I think he directed that line to you and Sanfilippo.
Yeah.
Hey, Nando and Flippo, he's not her dad.
Exactly.
That's what I saw.
You say tomato, I say tomato. No, that's what I say.
I heard it your way, Julia.
Thank you. Tomato.
Tomato.
I agree with you and your tomato.
Thank you, Joseph.
So much I could say there.
So he has the...
Don't say any of it.
Don't say it. So it's like he's sort of, I don't know if he's playing dumb about Red or not, because he's like, what's up with you and Red? Is this like a daddy-daughter thing? But he goes, here's a key if you want to know about Red. So does he know or does he not know who he is?
Yeah, he knows who he is and he knows what he's about, but I don't know if he knows what his relationship to Lizzie is. At least he played it that way.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't know what his relationship to Lizzie is, then what is his mission? And what is the significance of Lizzie Keene? Why is he there implanted for like 3 years in her life in order to not kill her?
And then what is that one little piece of paper that she pulls out of the safe deposit box that she's staring? We can get into our theory section, but just staring at this one piece of paper that's obviously so well protected that Tom had to hide the key under a lamp, you know, to protect this photo or this parchment of some sort.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what it is, because I was in the the whole one, she says, Red's not the man you think he is. Yeah. You know, he's whatever. And in the preview, she's like, you're a monster.
You're a monster, yeah. She says that in the previews for next
week.
We'll
see. Mm-hmm. Those are always red herrings. I don't buy any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so we do see him, you know, he cuffs her up and he gives her that speech. And I don't know. I mean, what do we think Tom's going to do? What do you think, Nando? Is he a protector? He's clearly not. We know he's not an assassin. Like Jolene's like, she's your target, also a little misleading. Because
I do remember, I think I predicted it a lot earlier in the season, and I think I wasn't the only one that said we felt that he is protecting Lizzie. He may not have Red's interests, but he's there to protect Lizzie. So I still kind of feel like they're playing it off that way, like he may be protecting her. Although, again, for a protector, he doesn't seem like a good guy, killing off Jolene, killing off our Cadillac cowboy, getting in this whole big fight, obviously having issues with Red, which, you know, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, we all seem to have, at least as an audience, we're very invested in Red as a good guy.
Right.
We definitely have an appeal for him.
Right.
Are we invested in him as a good guy or just an interesting character?
Or an anti-hero, maybe. Yeah. But I don't know.
This is what I'm going to get at towards the end here. Is that I don't know that we ever thought Red was a quote-unquote good guy, mm-hmm. right? Red, it's been very, very clear that Red is an international criminal who's done a lot of bad things, has a lot of dubious, you know, at best contacts.
Has a lot of kills under his belt.
We mm-hmm. saw him, like, really take some people out in the post-Angelo Garrick, black site infiltration, like how he took all those people out, including the poor mail carrier lady, you know, who was just, you know, what did she do? And so he's not a great guy. We assume that he's not as horrible
as... He's a hardened guy.
Right.
Yeah.
We assume that he's... And he's also associated with all these blacklisters who are his pals, who he seems to know everyone. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever that Tom says that Red is done shouldn't surprise her unless it's personal, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is of a personal nature unless this has to do with her father. Like, he killed her father or something. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, but anyway... I digress. But let's.
But he did kill her father. He killed her adopted father.
Oh God.
Well, he did.
No, he did. Right. Oh, that's right. That's right.
He killed her adopted father.
But like, he killed her real father. But
yeah, I mean, he. It was a moment of just trying to protect the secret, whatever it was. But,
right.
And it was with his permission.
That's what it is. Then.
But he suffocated.
That must be what. It must be some sort of surveillance footage or something of him.
Maybe of that.
That's what I think is in the thing. Oh, that was one of my predictions. Okay, there it is. One of my predictions I have written down was that, because you know he was at the hospital.
Yeah.
He was there.
That's
and
it.
I think it's probably a photo of him or something like that.
And Tom was there, right?
That's what I'm saying. Tom was there. Tom's the only other one who was there. Mm. So that's what I think is in the safety deposit box.
Oh, and it's like, you're a monster.
With the symbol, which is reminiscent of her scar.
Right. Ooh. Okay, there that all makes sense. Okay, now that will...
Luckily, I had two predictions.
Yes, we'll get that. So
she's not predictioned out.
So getting back to the FBI just really quickly, they were able to do to find the helicopter based on Red's tip on where the helicopter came from. They did some super super crazy FBI computer forensics and
tobacco and corn.
Tobacco and corn, and they were able to.
You gotta love that. Yeah, good job, RM.
Yeah,
he's good.
Good job on the case.
I like him.
And so they were able to, you know, try wrestler, who without Lizzie, who was like, "Where are you? Like, I'm, you know, I'm I don't know." So, so that was kind of cool to see the FBI do their thing and go and I mean, this is where I got somewhat. So, the Pavlichik brothers got handed off the scientist. They've already delivered her to her.
Well, they were getting her on the boat. They were there.
I think there was just a little time lapse. Like, they gave him an oxygen mask. They went and took care of Tom, then went back to the girl.
They went back to the girl.
Yeah.
To finish the job.
I think they had some time.
Probably the boat wasn't taking off for a while, so they decided to keep it.
Let's go do the headless quick Mustang chase.
While we're in town, let's make a few extra bucks.
They had her someplace else, and then they were just making sure that she was going to get out of the country.
Yeah, and then they had to get her on the cargo ship.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
It was just a timing issue. Things worked out perfectly.
Do you guys have anything on that you want to talk
during
about?
During Tom King's commercial, they went back to her. Just to chat. Are you okay? You good? All right, we're gonna go back now.
Anything you want to talk about that FBI side of the brothers?
I'm just bummed that they're dead. I'm really bummed that they're dead. To be honest with you, I kind of like them. Like you said, there definitely is a very comical aspect to them, and it doesn't seem like other than the fact that they helped Red get Tom, it doesn't seem like they were a major part of whatever revenge scheme, whatever ultimate plan
they have.
Red
no
had.
Political agenda. They're just in it for the money. They'll do anything for anyone.
They're pretty low on the blacklist.
Yeah. I mean, they killed six people in the pilot. Apparently, they wrestlers said they lost six men in that. In that attack, but other than that,
which is why they had to go.
Did anyone else find it to be just ever so slight of a stretch how they found the cargo ship? So she scribbles, Lee scribbles like a little bit of the letters on a wall with a piece of chalk. Mm-hmm. Aram, thank God for that guy.
Yeah, right.
FBI would be nowhere without
the guy.
Oh,
that guy.
He's a goddamn genius.
Oh, jeez. Water. Oh, yeah. Cargo ship. Done.
It's like, duh.
And then talk to Red. Oh, yeah, I got a guy. Ralph Sisko. What's going on? Okay.
Nothing gets smuggled in and out of.
And then Rolf apparently just gives it up like nothing.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Pavlovich brothers. Oh, they're smuggling some chick right on the other dock. So go do
great.
Your thing.
Boom.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice, tidy little bow there.
Well, the FBI, they're a crackerjack operation.
It was just a bit much for
yes,
me.
I suspended disbelief for all that, but yeah, it was a little convenient. What I did have a hard time with is back to, which was pretty true, which is back to wrestlers, you know, Red suspicion, like Red played us again. I'm getting a little tired of this whole like, you know, Red played us. He played us. When Wrestler was like, you know, when he was suspicious about the Pavlovich brothers' involvement, and maybe Red knew and Red helped change the, you know,
that
I feel
Red
like,
was in it to kidnap Lee himself because she's worth gajillions.
Exactly, and I feel like at 19 episodes in, even for Wrestler, I feel like they've all, between Harold Cooper and Wrestler and all of them, have sort of, Red has earned all their trust. Although Red is not trustworthy, so maybe, you know, there's some back end stuff there. But
I kind of agree with you. It's like going back to automatic, like, Red's bad.
It's like, come on, Red has done nothing but help you guys.
Yeah. But they also
and
know
save
that Red.
A lot of you.
They also do know that Red has his own agenda, and sometimes he gives them names because he wants something.
That's
whether
very
it's
true.
A couple of names on a list or whatever else. So
he did say, I'm glad that they threw in this line for the awesome James Spader, who had some great moments in this episode, by the way. I've missed Red for a couple weeks now.
Yes.
But just reminding us when he said, as for the FBI, I wouldn't be in this relationship if there wasn't a mutual benefit.
Yes.
So just when we think that he's in it just to help out Lizzie and help out the FBI and catch some blacklisters, we have to remember that he is in it with purpose.
All the time.
So I'm glad that they threw that in.
Now, speaking of James Spader moments, you know, with that interrogation with the courier. The guy that was very very
Seaver.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good stuff. A lot of laughing. Lot
yeah.
of
I just love how he.
You don't know him, do you?
I'm sure.
You sure.
What a shame.
You know, leather.
Tomato.
Yeah.
He has a way. He has a way of just disarming them while he's getting information from them.
It's a joy to watch. Mm. So.
Wonder what's in that calculus book.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if we're gonna find that out.
So you know, this brings us to. You know, the end there where, you know, we will get to see left with the question of who is Red Reddington really, which is what the same question we've been asking the entire season. Who is Red Reddington? Like, you know, in terms of is he good? Is he bad? And, you know, Tom and who is Tom? We've got the who is Tom answered almost, but not quite.
Yeah, not really, but. Who sort is, of. We know what he's not, and that's that he's not who
he's not
Tom
an assassin.
Keen. Yeah.
And he's not Tom Keen.
Yeah.
He's not there to
he's not
assassinate
just Lizzie's
Lizzie.
Husband, a third grade teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we do know that. So, but what his purpose is, we still don't know. We still don't know what Red's end game is or what his attachment to Lizzie is, other than not being his father, Nando.
Yeah.
her father, excuse me.
Whatever you think, whatever you say.
That's all we have. And then we still have, and I think finally, based on the previews next week, finally, we're going to get to my super blacklister.
Yeah, it seems
It seems like it.
Finally, we're getting into, because we're getting to the last two episodes here.
Do you think we'll get a number one listing with that?
I don't know if we're getting a number one. I feel like a number one's going to... I don't know. Maybe, if we get a number one, it'll be like a recurring. It'll be a big bad
for sure,
as they call in TV business. A big bad, a super big bad.
A big bad.
Yeah, that'll be back from season to season.
I see that. We're definitely gonna get a big bad. I definitely think we'll get a big bad. We'll see what kind of bad it's gonna be.
I still think Alan Alda may be the big bad ultimately, but
yeah,
I'll say that for my prediction.
By the way, the guy with the nose that you love so much, Milton Bobbitt. I just wanted
that's
to bring
right.
up.
Milton Bobbitt.
Milton Bobbitt.
I felt like I wanted to bring that up.
Anything else? What do we have? What did I miss?
I don't know. It was a fun episode. It was really a fun episode. I love the gift giving of Tom. I just can't get over that. The gift giving of Tom to Lizzie. And, you know, I think that he knew that he would escape. You know? Does that make sense? I think he knew that if he delivered her to delivered Tom to Lizzie, it would be...
Well, that's why he was staking out still with
the
people.
Yeah, because needs him. He needs him to live, because he needs him to follow him to Berlin.
But does he know that he wouldn't kill Lizzie? I mean, like, why would he...
I think he knows more than he says.
Right.
I think that in delivering him to Lizzie, it helped to prove to Lizzie that he wasn't lying, so she would trust him more.
Right.
But it also... I don't know. It provided her with a little bit of closure in order to move forward. Right. And I think that was important to him, to Red, to give that to her.
Makes sense.
But he still needs him alive. He needs him on the run so he could follow him.
Huh. Okay. All right.
I don't know. I'm thinking that through with you guys.
I mean, I don't know. Nando? What do you think about Julia's theory there?
I actually agree with her on the theory. I really think that, you know, Tom... It's not a final. This wasn't like a final. Let's just deal with Tom and get it over with type thing. This is again. You know, it's interesting. At the preview of the episode, when they were showing the recap, they showed They showed Red say, "I can only lead you to the truth. You still have to believe it."
Mm-hmm.
So right. I still think that there's still more for Red to play with when it comes to Tom.
And this was the perfect example of him leading her to the truth. She just needs to believe it.
He gift wrapped the truth for her and put it in front of her, but she has to believe it.
Yeah.
And he knew that Tom would at least not get killed, but probably that would be, you know, keep an eye on her.
Of course he'd take down Lizzie.
Yeah.
Sure. In that scene. Of course he would beat Lizzie.
Huh. All right. Well, we'll see. Let's do some shout-outs, some news and gossip-ish.
AfterBuzz TV News.
We don't have any. Well, actually, we don't have any news and gossip. We do have some shout outs.
I didn't look on Twitter to see if.
Mike Blanchard, we love you. Caitlin K. Caitlin K mentioned that the mushroom guy also escaped with a broken thumb from Hannibal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's a good catch there,
absolutely. Why do you think I knew?
That's right.
Not in
S&M
school, Nando.
Langley. Mike. And do you have anyone else from
I'm looking at YouTube, and I see YouTube? From YouTube from our last episode, which was over 2 weeks ago, is Life is Short 214, Day 1555, MDS 1978, Terry Pitnick, MDS 1978, I think I said them already, Cyber Girl 1980, Taylor S., Ashley Kearney, Aquarius 1934, Kokoro Al, Melina Torres, Complena Sarah, Tasha B, and Jan Jandles, Natural Opinion. Oh, yeah, a lot of people. Donald Dingerson and Doreen Wakini. A lot of new names in here. Some of the similar
Ones. Thank
you. A lot of new ones. Solitaire 401, Dayson Bellin. That's it on YouTube. Wow, lots. I didn't go on iTunes, but that's a lot.
I'm going on iTunes right now.
Yes, you are.
And on iTunes, I see...
I had a beard 2 weeks ago. I just noticed. The
you did have a beard.
I was like, wow.
Okay. I thought you said you had a beard, and I was like, oh, how was it? What kind of beard was it?
No.
I enjoyed that.
Well, I'm having trouble here, so I don't know. I'm going to get there. Okay, wait, I'm here. Sorry.
Do it.
I'll race you.
This is the best radio ever. it's the sound of me looking up. Okay, here we go. Okay, number 87, the blacklister himself says hello.
He's a blacklister.
He's number 87. And then Bramble Bray Dana with
you. Okay, I think the ratings are old because the last new episode we had was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, that one sounds from March. Yeah,
the ratings are a little old, but all the more reason. We got a couple more episodes left. All the more reason to please rate us and subscribe if you haven't subscribed on iTunes.
Fair
and please give us a certain amount of stars that we like to see, which would be
five
stars. Yes, and of course. Comment on YouTube and on iTunes. And YouTube, we're more likely to at least respond if you have anything pressing, any criticism.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're pretty good on Twitter, too.
Yeah, we're good on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Julia?
Well, I already gave away one of my predictions.
It was a good prediction.
It was a good hot prediction. I have sort of maybe a little bit out there prediction.
Okay.
I think that Lizzie might be pregnant with Tom's baby.
Spy baby. We talked about this.
Spy baby. But I feel like they went out of their way to mention the sex scene. They never said that she couldn't have kids that she wanted to adopt.
They went out of their way
to talk about how they had sex, how she felt filthy because it was your chest deep in filth. I don't know. I don't think it comes without repercussions.
No,
that's a good one.
Mm. Thank you.
All of that, Nando.
I actually, you know, it's funny. I had the prediction you had fleshed out, but I didn't have the fact that he was probably caught suffocating her adopted father. But I figured that the reason why she was calling him a monster was because he did something to someone she knew. I was assuming it might be someone in the agency, though. But so I think it's a good thing. But I definitely feel that that the secret that she's going to uncover is that she's going to uncover something from its past, doing something to somebody she knows. And it could be the father thing. I really like that.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh, the father. The spoiler. Yeah. I agree. I like that too.
God.
I thought she had a father like that. Red's a father. I like that too. I think that's the key. I think that we're gonna get Super Blacklister. Big Bad next week. I think it's Alan Alda. That's my prediction. Julia, where can we find you?
Find me on Twitter and on Instagram at my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY. Please follow me.
Nandovel.
You can find me on the Twitter at Nandovel, NANDOVEL, and here on AfterBuzz for the following: Hannibal, Bates Motel, Orphan Black, a bunch of stuff. 24, a bunch of stuff.
Yep, and you can find Joe Sanfilippo, who's not here, at his website on josephsanfilippo.com and on Twitter at joeflippo.com. You can find me, Joe Braswell, on Instagram and Twitter at joekbraswell.com, and here doing the Hannibal. The Hannibal, the following, Bates Motel, yes. Mad Men, and this one. Thank you so much for listening and joining us. We're glad to be back. We'll see you next week for the home stretch of Blacklist.
Ooh.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.